for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Morning, we are here on, we'll just call it Wow Saturday.
It is. It's a wow weekend.
Yeah.
It's a wow weekend in Fort Recovery.
Yep. And we're here with Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green Nursery, and we're talking about plants and stuff.
Plants and stuff.
So what's on the agenda today?
Well, lots of different things on the agenda. We talked last weekend, last Saturday, about a lot of different things. We'll kind of touch base on some of those again this Saturday, but wanted to mention,
so it's a rerun.
It's a rerun.
Okay.
It's a live, it's a live rerun.
so if you're tuning in, this is a rerun.
No, there's always
something new.
There's always something new. There's always pertinent information. I was invited to speak at OSU Extension on Wednesday and had a heck of a turnout. I think we must have had 30 or 35 people there for a talk in regards to perennials and perennial care and spring flowering bulbs, because you have to plant those now or plant them in the fall. You don't necessarily have to plant them now, but you have to plant them in the fall.
The next 2 months or so.
So I could do a rerun on that.
That wouldn't be bad either, because I got to see a picture of that on Facebook, but I didn't get to hear any of it.
Oh, so, it was outstanding.
I don't doubt that. So why don't you just start in? Did you bring your notes? Or did you have any notes?
I didn't bring any notes. I can wing it.
That's good.
We all know how good I am when I wing it.
Yeah.
I wanted to start this today with September. And we're just a couple of days away from September. September is without a doubt the best month for seeding. And so lawn renovation, turf renovation, new lawn, renovating an old tired lawn. September is the month to do that. Absolutely better than April, May. It's just the best month, and there's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, the soil temperatures are really, really warm. And of course, with the weather we've had this week, can't help but be really, really warm. But when you seed in the spring, you are typically, especially April, earlier in the season, the more you have to deal with cold or cool soil temperatures. Seed doesn't germinate unless the soil temperature is around, you know, 58 to 60 degrees. Well, we don't have to worry about that too much.
Not for now.
For now. So the soil temperatures are really warm. So germination happens very quickly once you put a little bit of water on it. That was a Gary Burbank thing years back.
Put some water on it.
Kind of show my age. Yeah. A lot of people don't get it, but if you would listen to Gary Burbank, you would get it. Put some water on it.
They would come up with these weird scenarios. What are you going to do about it?
Put some water on it.
It'd be like a 2-minute buildup of some ridiculous story.
Oh, nobody's better than Gary Burbank.
No, he was something else. So we were at his rally when he was running for governor.
Really?
Yeah, we went down to the Christian Moorline Brewery. There were six of us went down there.
Now, who ran? Did Gary Burbank run, or did Earl Pitts? Or did Earl Pitts run?
I think it was Earl Pitts. It was Earl Pitts.
And I've always heard he's a great American.
At least he says it. Says he is. But he, John Wolf, ended up with the banner from that. But,
oh, no,
but when
kidding.
He moved from his big house to his little house, it disappeared.
Oh, that's that would be not. That is good garage art right there.
Yes, yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he was trying to find it when Gary Burbank was here at Hine Amphitheater a couple of years in a row, and he was trying to find it so he could get it autographed, but he couldn't find it. He said it disappeared when I moved to the little house.
Oh no.
Yep.
So again, with watering, you know, seeding in any time in September, obviously the earlier the better, but Seeding is, it's the month for seeding. Again, warm soil temperatures. We usually, it sounds like after Sunday, this oppressive heat is going to break. I'm hoping, possibly, that we get maybe some remnants of that hurricane that's going to be hitting Louisiana here on Sunday. We really need some rain. So hoping maybe we can get some remnants of that up here and get some moisture back in our ground, because it's really hard and dry at this point. So, again, soil temperatures, usually September is going to be a little bit cooler month. We kind of get into more fall temperatures and you know, warmer days and cooler nights, which is perfect for growing cool season grass. And then also this time of year, for the most part, all your typical weed seeds that are out there in your lawn, landscape beds, turf, wherever, has pretty much kind of germinated at this point. So you don't have a lot of weed pressures. And a spring seeding, usually what happens with a spring seeding is you will get, you know, good germination once the temperatures are right. And your grass, especially your cool season turf like bluegrass, will take off. And it'll look fantastic through May. And then I always tell the clients in July and August, it's going to look rough. In July and August, you're going to get crabgrass, foxtail, all kinds of weeds that are germinating and competing with your newly seeded lawn. And so things can, again, kind of start to look a little haggard and a little rough, I guess, the best way to put it, because you do have a lot of weeds. And you really don't want to get out there when the turf, brand new turf, is stressed and do a herbicide application. So you just kind of deal with it through the summer, and then in the fall when it cools down and we get good soil moisture, you can put herbicides down and get all the weeds out of that new grass. But when you do a September planting, you just don't have all those concerns, because you're going to have a pretty, for the most part, you're going to have a pretty weed-free lawn after you get your seed down. And you know, again, put some water on it and get it up and growing. You're going to be very, very, very happy with the results. With, you know, the right weather, and whether that be through Mother Nature or you out there with a sprinkler, either way you look at it, you're going to get good germination. It's almost impossible to screw it up. And I've had instances where we've done seeding projects before, and we've had clients mowing 5 weeks after we did the, you know, bare dirt to mowing in 5 weeks. So, you know, I'd like to say that's all us, and good, using good seed and good fertilizer and good practices certainly makes a difference. But in those instances, it was a lot more Mother Nature giving us consistent, even and consistent rainfall, because that's what you need. You got to have the water. To the moisture to get that seed to germinate and start to grow. So again, September is the best time for that, without question. Talking about what practices, what you want to do, first of all, getting a good quality, you know, seed mix is hugely important. And it's hard to explain over the radio, but there's a lot of different types of grass seed out there. And the best way you could try to explain it in Mercer County would be, you know, every season there's new turf varieties, cultivars introduced. And obviously the stuff that's introduced this year or last year is going to be 10 times better, you know, than the seed that was introduced 10 or 15 years ago. So, you know, when the farmers are putting in their corn and soybeans, they're not planting genetics from 20 years ago. They're planting the best, you know, the best that is on the market at this point. And grass seed's exactly the same way. There's good seed and bad seed. There's new seed and there's old seed. And obviously the new turf seeds that are out there, you know, the new varieties of Kentucky bluegrass are going to be, you know, a little bit more disease tolerant. They're going to be more, you know, drought tolerant. They're going to grow a little bit slower, which everybody would like. They're usually, especially the bluegrasses, the varieties that are out now are just really, really dark green. If we have to you know, do a renovation project or patch or landscape or patio or something on a project or a home that we've taken care of for a long time. And I don't know how it's happened, but I've been doing this for 27 years now. So if we go back to a client that we've done work for years and we patch stuff in, our new seed honestly doesn't match very well. Even if it is a Kentucky bluegrass, a high quality Kentucky bluegrass blend, doesn't match. It's a lot darker green than the stuff years ago. So, you know, things change, but again, it's always getting a little bit better. If you're going to do seeding, I should mention, and you've got a project that's going to take a lot of seed, get out there and get your seed bought today. Get it bought. I just got an email this week. All of our grass seeds, most everything, our bluegrass, fescues, mostly all come off the West Coast and is harvested and bagged mostly in Oregon. And we are going to get hit with about $1 per pound increase, which is like 33 or 36% difference. Yeah. So, I you know, again.
So, probably a lot of that stuff comes in, what, 20-pound bags, 40-pound bags?
We get all of it in 50-pound bags. But, I mean, uh-huh. We've got a bin that we will put bags in, and then we'll weigh out 1 pound, 2 pounds, 5 pounds, whatever you need. Mm-hmm. We get it in 50-pound bags. Our supplier gave us a big, long list of why it's gone up dramatically, but fact remains it's gone up dramatically. I've never seen an increase like that in one season. You know, again, I don't think it is weather-related. I mean, they grow and harvest seed, you know, just like, I guess, I don't know, you know, harvesting beans or whatever. They harvest the seeds and bag it. I've never been out there. I'd like to go out there and see how they do it, but never been out there. All I know is there's huge price increases coming. And don't, you know, if you're seeding a side ditch or you're seeding a high traffic area that consistently, you know, the kids are out, you know, driving four wheelers, or, you know, if it's a farmyard, barnyard, and trucks and trailers and stuff are driving across it, you know, okay, I get it. You know, if you're reseeding it consistently and it never looks that great, you know, a cheaper seed's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But I mean, if you've got a new house, you know, in Indian Heights, or you've got a renovation project you're doing, or you're doing the front of your house, you know, the worst seed you can buy is the cheapest seed you can buy. It, you're putting it down, you anticipate it lasting for, you know, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years. Yeah. So you want to buy a good quality seed, and there's junky stuff out there. There's seed that is, you know, really, really, really low quality. There's seed that, and again, especially if you're buying a box, bag, whatever you're buying, those by law have to be labeled. And the label, the bag tag that, you know, we get, I always look at them or read them just to see what's the difference in each mixture. But you need to look at it, and there's, you know, it tells you exactly what's in the bag as far as the types of seed. There's usually, with a good blended seed, you're going to have maybe four or five improved varieties of Kentucky bluegrass. You're going to have some rye in there, like a perennial rye, because it germinates quickly. Perennial rye will germinate in about 5 days. Good Kentucky bluegrass was going to germinate in 14 to 16 days. So the rye's in there to give you kind of a quick cover, and then the bluegrass will start to germinate and grow and eventually kind of take over the stand. But and then there's occasionally some creeping fescue or some red fescue, which isn't the wide-bladed stuff. The creeping fescue or the red fescue is actually a very, very fine-bladed turf, and it's very shade tolerant. So if you're, you know, up underneath a tree or something, again, the blended seed mixes will give you, you know, a nice stand in a lot of different environments, as far as sunny, shady, you know, whatever. I would highly recommend not getting, you know, a seed mixture that is just 100% bluegrass and 100% the same variety. You want a blended mixture of seed, and that's normally what you get from the, you know, the, if you shop at the box stores, which I wouldn't recommend, or you know, the local mills, local landscape companies are going to have a good blend that they recommend and they use consistently, and those are typically going to be your higher quality
and at those places, the local basically anything locally owned, you're going to be able to ask for some advice, and you're not talking to the guy from electronics.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, when you're dealing with our local mills, which a lot of them will have fertilizers and seed mixes, yes, they're going to be able to speak very intelligently about what you're buying and answer your questions. So seed is really important. Basically, the biggest thing that comes into play, and I think I talked about this last week, was if you want to do, you know, a turf type tall fescue lawn, or if you want to do a Kentucky bluegrass lawn. Turf type tall fescue, again, I've been doing this 27 years. 27 years ago, we probably planted 5% turf type tall fescue, and everything else was Kentucky bluegrass. I would say this summer, I'm going to say half and half. We'll do half turf type tall fescue and half bluegrass. Reason being, the turf type tall fescues, you know, tall fescue, if you're a turf guy, a grass guy, gives you nightmares because you think of the real thick, heavy, wide bladed stuff that's really lime green in color, that you just absolutely hate in your lawn. While the good turf type tall fescues that are out today, if you're driving past somebody's house or even probably cycling past somebody's house and you see a really good bluegrass lawn and a really good turf type fescue lawn, you're probably not going to be able to pick out the difference. Now, if you walk across the lawn, you're going to be able to tell the difference because fescue's a little coarser texture and certainly a little stiffer. The blades are a little bit stiffer than Kentucky bluegrass. The biggest thing is the way the industry's kind of moving or shifting towards the turf type tall fescues. Almost all of our commercial projects that we bid spec a turf type tall fescue, they certainly require less water. They're a lot more drought tolerant than bluegrass, without question. They claim that they're a lot more disease resistant, and I don't argue they are, but I do argue that, you know, the some people will say, well, they just don't get any diseases at all, so you should plant that. That's absolutely not true. They will get diseases, but they are more tolerant than what bluegrass is. So if somebody's selling it to you that you'll never have dollar spot and you'll never have brown patch and you'll never have this and you'll never have that, that's a crock, because you will see it depending on the weather. But yes, it is going to be dramatically less than probably what you're going to see with Kentucky bluegrass. Yep. And again, less water. They just say it's a lower maintenance turf, so it doesn't require as much irrigation. It doesn't require as much fertilizer, and that absolutely is the case. Bluegrass is kind of a pig. It will eat everything you give it as far as food goes. You do get to a point of diminishing returns with fescue, that if you fertilize it, you know, five bags versus two, the two is probably sufficient, and the other three, you're just simply putting it down and not getting a lot of results from your effort and money. So it does require less fertilizer, it does require less water. So therefore, from an environmental standpoint, you know, people want to use it because, again, it's just less impact on the environment. You know, I can tell you, I probably, if, you know, my lawn's mostly all bluegrass, and I like it just because of the texture and color. It's a lot finer texture. But again, you know, as hot and dry as it's been the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, sure would be nice to have fescue, because your lawn would not be brown.
Yeah.
And my lawn is brown.
Yep.
So there's a lot to be said for the durability. We need to, I've been kind of long-winded, so it's 7:35. We need to take a break.
Yeah, take a break and breathe. Be back in just a minute.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Buy buying a new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. That's not what happens at Ace. Wengler Ace Hardware has an exclusive lineup of premium brands plus premium service from the people who know you best. We'll make sure you get the right grill, whether it's gas, wood pellet, or a flat top griddle. And better yet, we'll assemble and deliver it right to your patio. Don't forget, your newest grill is never far away, and neither is our help. That's why grilling starts at Ace. Stop by Wengler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery, your grilling destination.
Need a better job where the benefits are great. A family-friendly company with competitive pay. Where people stop and greet me when they see my smiling face. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
Full-time production positions start at $15.25 an hour. To apply, visit CooperFarmsJobs.com. Cooper Farms, it's more than a workplace.
The St. Joe Homecoming Festival is coming up September 10th, 11th, and 12th on the grounds of St. Joseph Parish, 1.5 miles east of Fort Recovery. The festivities kick off on that Friday night with St. Joe's largest cornhole tournament. Sign in at 7:30. Saturday night begins with outdoor mass at 4:30, and stick around for world-famous chili, the amateur horseshoe tournament, and music by RJ the DJ. Sunday's festivities kick off at 1 o'clock with NFL football on TV, a beanbag tournament, horseshoe tournament, and kitty tractor pool. Grab yourself some barbecue chicken dinners for supper and stick around for entertainment by Kyle Kesters and the raffle drawing with a $1,000 top cash prize. We'll see you at the St. Joe Homecoming Festival September 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Welcome back. A walk through the garden with Steve Stone. So far, we've just been walking through the lawn. Are we through
walking
with
through the lawn?
Are we through with the lawn? We got some. No, we got more to do on there. On that.
No, we got a lot more to do on the lawn. Okay. I think you know, at 7. I think it's 7:38 now. I think by 10:30 we'll be through all this lawn.
Okay.
This lawn talk. talking about overseeding, reseeding, fall renovation, you know, growing grass, September's definitely the month to be doing that. Talking about the different seed mixes that are out there to use, and basically, to me, it kind of comes down to if you want turf-type tall fescue or bluegrass, and both of them are great choices. Just remember the, you know, the bluegrass is going to be a lot more susceptible to weather like we're having, as far as, you know, kind of going dormant and struggling.
Yeah. And people need to remember it's dormant. It's not dead.
Yeah.
It will come back.
It's dormant. Yeah.
An extreme that I don't know that we've ever seen cases, it won't come back, but it'll come back.
Yeah. The lawns right now are pretty stressed, and a lot of them are brown and look pretty lousy. If you want to see a really lousy looking lawn, just drive out by my house. It looks like crap.
You need a gardener.
I know. I need an irrigation system. Are they giving one of those away at the WOW?
That's probably the only thing they're not giving away at
Dang
the WOW.
It. Be nice to win an irrigation system.
You can go on a hunting trip with Ted Nugent on his ranch in Texas.
If I had to pick any of those, if I could pick any of those unbelievable giveaways that they're doing, that would definitely be top five.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about hunting, but it'd be cool.
I couldn't care less really about hunting either. Yeah, but
hang
I'll
around
tell
with a Motor City madman would be unbelievable.
I would love to sit and talk politics with Ted Nugent.
Or just anything.
He is nuts. I love him. He has a way of just absolutely irritating the other side, I guess we'll say. And wow, he is fun to listen to. He's kind of over the top, but he is he's pretty funny. And I tend to agree with a lot of his stuff, which might be scary, but he is something. Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I don't know how they got that trip, but man, when I read that, I'm
well,
like, oh,
those are available.
Oh my
gosh.
They're
like $10,000, $15,000 thing. I think there's actually if I'm remembering correctly, I think there's also an African safari.
There is an African. I was just going to say there's an African safari. And
which
if
is
I could,
crazy.
If I could go to Africa or I could hang out with Uncle Ted for 5 days, I'd pick Uncle Ted in a heartbeat because that guy's crazy.
And if you're really into the safari, they're not going to let you shoot the animals. But if you're
well,
into shooting
animals. Well, let's hope not.
I believe there's also a helicopter
hunt
for wild boar.
Yep. All sounds fun.
It's crazy. I mean, just some of that stuff they have is just I can't remember what.
Kudos to the guys that put that together.
Something popped in my head a few days ago that I thought, well, that's what. Oh, go into space with a billionaire.
Yeah. I'd still pick Uncle Ted.
I probably would too. Anyway, back to our lawns.
Again, talking about the lawn renovation, seed is very important. Preparation for, you know, putting your seed down is really important. If you're spending the money, and good seed could potentially be anywhere between $2.50 to $3.50 a pound. But you certainly can find seed out there that's $1 a pound. And if it's $1 a pound, it's probably not worth $1 a pound. What I had mentioned was talking about is the bag tags that explain everything that's in it. It will explain exactly what seed mix is in it. It will say weed seed, because again, when you're harvesting seed, there may be the potential that there could be some weed seeds in that. But a good quality mix, that number should be either zero or maybe like 1.5% of the bag. So in most cases, it's zero, but it will say that on there. And if you read it and you got a cheap seed mix, it could say 10%. I mean, obviously don't buy it. Then there's always the one I really like is inert matter. So there's a line item in there for inert matter. Again, it tells you everything that's in there. Some of the bags, when they say inert matter, there might be, I don't know, chaff. There might be some other stuff that's in there. But what I'm getting at is if you're buying 50 pounds of seed and there's 20% inert matter in there, then you're really not buying 50 pounds of seed.
You're buying 40 pounds of seed.
So, you know, again, make sure you kind of do your due diligence and do some reading and research. Ask me, somebody you trust, a local nursery professional.
Yeah, buy it from a nursery professional or a feed store type of thing.
Yeah.
If you buy it at the
hardware stores, I mean, like,
yeah,
they're solid.
Yes.
I trust those guys.
Yes, they actually know to look at that stuff. Where, like, if you go to the big box stores, that's over there. Pick one out.
Man, be really, really careful. I know people that's bought stuff off of online that's supposed to be, like, great this and great that, and we've got, you know, the technology nobody else has got and stuff. You know, just completely steer clear of that. That, and I'd say 70% of the cases is probably a scam. But anyhow, get a good quality seed. Fertilizer is hugely important, and when you're growing, you know, new turf, I know in this area specifically with the lake that runoff is an issue and a concern, and it absolutely should be. But you can't grow new grass without phosphorus, and a lot of the mixtures that are out there, fertilizer mixtures, are phosphorus free. If you're starting a new turf and you have a phosphorus-free fertilizer, you're probably not going to have as good a luck as you should. You got to get a fertilizer mixture that's got phosphorus in it, because phosphorus is critical for seed germination. And so usually they call it a seed starter fertilizer. I think what we have is 18-24-12 or 18-24-15. I can't remember. But that's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and higher phosphorus is great for starting, you know, new turf. You've got to have it. And so, again, proper application, proper amounts applied is going to be important, so you don't have too much on there that you're going to have runoff. But, again, if you buy a phosphory fertilizer as a seed starter, you're probably going to be disappointed, because you really got to have some phosphorus in that mixture to get that seed up and growing. And you just simply don't don't want to waste your time and put seed down without putting fertilizer down. The seed starter granular fertilizer that you should buy and apply when you're seeding is not going to, my people say, oh, it's that new grass, you're going to burn it. No, you need fertilizer. You got to, Randy Tischer is the kind of the seed sod guru for this part of Ohio. He owns Green Velvet Sod Farm down in New Carlisle. And I've met him a couple of times, and we get all of our seed and fertilizer and stuff from Randy Tischer at Green Velvet. And he's a really good dude, second generation sod grower. And he always says on his radio show, you got to feed the baby. You got to feed that new grass. And that's why a good seed starter fertilizer is so very important to getting that grass up and growing. So the key factors are going to be a good quality seed, good fertilizer, and then you got to work the ground up. Don't, if you're doing like overseeding or spot seeding or some light minor renovation, you can't just go out there and just throw the grass down by hand and then run your rotary spreader across it and put some fertilizer down and then go back in the house and turn the Buckeyes on. You have to work the ground up to get the seed to germinate. The seed has to absorb, it's called imbibe, the seed has to imbibe water, and you have to get good seed soil contact. If you get the seed down in the soil, and that doesn't mean you bury it, it just means it has to be worked into the soil, you're going to get good seed soil contact. So when you get a little bit of moisture, the seed's going to be able to absorb that moisture, it's going to germinate and grow. If you're just kind of throwing it on top of the ground and there's dead turf, organic matter stuff there, and it's really not touching the soil, you're going to have lousy germination.
So how do you incorporate it if you're overseeding? You don't just go out with your rototiller and till up your lawn.
Well, the best thing to do as far as doing like a renovation project would be to rent, beg, borrow, a slice seeder works really well. Slice seeders have tines, but they are perpendicular with the ground, and so they kind of slice the ground. It's like a no-till drill for your lawn. Mm-hmm. They're usually gas-powered. You kind of walk behind them and push them. Most of them are self-propelled. Some of them aren't, and they will slice the ground open, and then they usually have a hopper behind it, and then it'll drop seed as you go. That will loosen the ground up, kind of till up the dead tissue and dead turf.
But it doesn't rip up what you already
have. It doesn't take everything back to bare dirt. It again, you'll just see slices or lines in your yard where that machine has gone through, and that will give you good seed soil contact. You can use a aerator if you air this, which it's way too dry to run an aerator right now.
Yeah.
If you aerate your lawn, maybe two different directions, and then incorporate or apply your seed at that point, you're going to get good seed soil contact. Also, thatchers. Thatchers are kind of the same thing. Nearly the same thing as a slice seeder, but thatchers again will kind of they have perpendicular tines, metal tines that will, I want to say, tear the ground up. They'll loosen the existing turf, they'll loosen the existing dead tissue and organic matter, and it again opens the ground up, so when you put your seed on, it will get good seed soil contact, and it will you'll get good germination, and you'll get a good germination percentage. Also, again, if you're doing a complete renovation, then you're tilling the ground up, raking it level, and then applying your seed, fertilizer, and then get your water hoses out and start watering. So if you're going to, again, spend the time to do it right, and you're going to be thrilled with your results. The more corners you cut, the less you're going to lower your germination percentage dramatically, and then you're going to be disappointed. So we need to get to a break, and yep, we'll be back.
It's time to begin planning your landscape improvements for this summer. Nature's Green Nursery can design a beautiful, cost-effective, no-maintenance landscape for your home or business with quality trees, shrubs, perennials, soils, and mulch. Steve Stone has a degree in horticulture landscape. Call Nature's Green at 419-375-2322 today and set up a free landscape design and evaluation. Check out Nature's Green on the web or like them on Facebook. Nature's Green Nursery on State Route 119, just east of Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Wayne Street Market has everything you need to make your grilling great. They have the propane, they have the charcoal, they have the wood chips for your smoker, and best of all, they have great steak prices. Ribeyes are $9.99 a pound, flat iron steaks are $8.99 a pound, and New York strips and T-bones are just $7.99 a pound. And they have brats from Johnsonville, Swaggerty Farms, and Winter's Meats. And don't forget to grab some rubs and sauces from a couple of local businesses, Dave's Famous Sauces from St. Mary's and Wendell's from St. Joe. Get everything you need for this year's grilling season during their No Limit Meat Sale at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
The Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster will be hosting national speaker Jesse Romero Sunday, September 19th through Wednesday, September 22nd. Mr. Romero is a radio host, author, and evangelist, and will speak on how spiritual warfare is being waged against us and how we can protect and defend ourselves. His five presentations are open to adults and students, ninth grade and up, regardless of religious affiliation, and there will be refreshments after each of the talks. On Sunday evening, September 19th at 5:30, his presentation will be Know Your Enemy, followed at 7:15 by Man to Man. This last presentation is for men only. Monday's presentation, The Power of Prayer, will be held at 7:15 p.m., and Tuesday's presentation will be at 7:45 p.m. and will be How to Get to Heaven, Living in a State of Grace. On Wednesday, it will be Teen Night starting at 7:30 for teens 9th grade and up. Put these dates on your calendar and see Jesse Romero Sunday through Wednesday, September 19th through 22nd at Mary Help of Christians Church, and hear his stories of working in the largest prison system in the world, dealing with Satanism and the occult, and so much more. These talks are open to the public regardless of religious affiliation, and you want to get there early because of the anticipated large attendance for these presentations.
We're back on A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, and he's almost ready to be late for work. But
that's all right.
Oh, it is?
Our topics are important.
Yeah.
So again,
as long as Nikki thinks that.
So again, you know, spent the whole show today talking about renovation and seeding. And again, this is the right time of year to do that. Talked about seed, talked about, you know, the different fertilizers that are out there. Seed starter fertilizer is very important. The question, I guess the last thing we need to talk about is straw. Do you put straw down? Do you not put straw down? This time of year, I think you could probably get away with not putting straw down. You're going to get quick. You should get quick germination if you're watering. But you know, straw does help. It holds moisture, shades the ground, so the moisture as you're watering will stay there longer. It doesn't evaporate as rapidly. But you know, straw can certainly introduce a lot of different types of weeds. Inevitably, we'll do a seed job every, you know, we do a bunch of them every fall. In the springtime, I'll get calls from those homeowners that are just absolutely having a meltdown because they see all this really wide-bladed stuff in their newly seeded lawn and think that it's a weed or it's, you know, fescue or, you know, it looks unsightly. And it does look unsightly. It looks ridiculous in that brand new lawn. In a lot of cases, what that is wheat. The wheat seed will, you know, overwinter and germinate. And it doesn't last. You mow it, you know, three or four times and it will croak. But again, you are introducing, you know, depending on how clean the straw is, you there's no question you're going to be introducing weeds into that lawn.
And yeah, because can you have a wheat field without some weeds in it?
That'd be a question for...
I'd say that's not possible.
Tom Lefevre or I don't think some of the Stammens.
I don't think that's possible.
It's going to be difficult.
Throughout the country.
It's going to be difficult.
there's seeds of all sorts blowing around.
Certainly going to be difficult. You know, again, it does do a good job of holding moisture. It can make your germination a little bit more, not a little bit, sometimes a lot more consistent. But again, you can get by without it this time of year. I probably wouldn't recommend that in an April spring seeding type of a situation. But fall, I wouldn't be too apprehensive. not to put straw down, but some sort of a, you can put straw down, you can put, you know, there's seed mulch that you can put down, which is basically a compressed paper pellet that's green, and you can apply it throughout the newly seeded area. And the compressed paper pellets, as it gets moisture, they actually kind of expand and they grow a little bit, and it creates, and that stuff doesn't blow around either. It's a heavier pellet, so if you have a windstorm, it's going to stay put a lot better. But it is quite a bit more expensive than what straw is. So a lot of options on that, but the biggest thing is just consistent moisture. If you can keep it wet and set your sprinklers up and keep it wet, you know, that's the best thing to do. And you want to keep it consistently wet until you get germination and you start seeing, you know, a nice green fuzz over the whole lawn. Then you want to be a little bit more careful how frequently you water. You have to keep it wet, but you don't want to water it every day, because that new grass coming up can be susceptible to Pythium. And if we have a humidity like we're having right now, Pythium can get started in your new turf, and that can create a whole bunch more problems that I don't have time to talk about today. So maybe we'll pick a little bit up of this next week, and then I'll hit all the other things I didn't get to this week.
All righty.
So thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
If you have questions, you can email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com, or you can give us send us an email at FortRecoveryRadio@outlook.com for questions you have, or flag one of us down, and we'll get to your question, problem,
or
concern the next time we're on. So thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.